Welcome back. Back in 1993, Anne Lamott, then a 35-year-old single mom, wrote a funny and unflinching memoir of her son Sam's first year. It was called Operating Instructions. You could think of her as sort of Benjamin Spock, but as a left-leaning, recovering alcoholic, born-again Christian in blonde dreadlocks in Marin County, California. Now, two decades later, Annie Lamott has written a book with Sam, who's now a father, which makes Annie Lamott, what, could it be a grandmother? One who's still trying to figure out the owner's manual. Here's a portion of a letter she writes her grandson, just months old, telling him that if you go through life thinking there's a day in second grade you missed when grown-ups came in and explained everything to kids, you'd be wrong. There is no explainer, and that's okay.
This lack of instruction manual is how most people develop compassion and how they figure out how to show up, care, help, and serve as the only way of filling up and being free. Otherwise, you grow up to be someone who needs to dominate and shame others, so no one will know that you weren't there the day the instructions were passed out. I know exactly one other thing that I hope will be useful, that when electrical things stop working properly, 90% of the time you can fix them by unplugging the cord for 2 or 3 minutes. I'm sure there is a useful metaphor here.
Annie Lamott's new book is called Some Assembly Required, a Journal of My Son's First Son. She joins us from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Annie, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So let's get right to it. You say there's a useful metaphor there. I'm thinking maybe that idea of unplugging the cord is you, you know, cut the umbilical cord even to your son. I mean, this just triggered something in you when your very young son and his very young wife have a baby.
Well, it's kind of scary if you've had one plan that you thought was more or less the way things were going to bounce, and i.e. that your son would go to college, and which he was doing, and then graduate, and then get involved in a career that seemed to hold a lot of promise, and then meet someone, etc., and then a few years later have children. And instead, he was 19, and he announced that he and his girlfriend were having a baby. And all I could do was to hang my head and then to say, oh, Sam. And then, of course, call all my girlfriends in complete hysteria and say, it's all over. It's hopeless. We're doomed. He'll drop out of school. We'll all end up at the rescue mission. And then he called later and said, oh, hi, hon.
Right, right. It sort of passed, as several storms do, as you go through these, you know, the birth, the first few months. And when I think of you and when I talk about, you know, you unplugging, I'm thinking of Shirley MacLaine in that movie, what was it, where she's a grandmother and she's so concerned about the baby that she literally climbs next to the baby to, you know, listen to the baby breathing. That's sort of what I was picturing.
Yeah, it's terms of endearment.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's convinced, she's shouting that the baby is dead as she climbs into the crib, and the husband off screen is saying, the baby's sleeping. And then you hear the baby begin to sob because the grandmother's woken him up.
That's what I was picturing, you know, of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and the need to unplug and to believe that the baby may actually be sleeping, you know. For me, the whole book and the whole year was about trying to get my sticky mitts off the controls of the spaceship and to release Sam and Amy to the care of their own higher power, who it turned out was not me, and to keep remembering that it was their baby. It wasn't mine.
And shocking.
I couldn't believe it. I thought it was so rude. But also, I've heard over the years that if it's not your problem, you probably don't have the solution. And I discovered as a grandmother and once again as a mother that the very hardest thing is letting go without leaving claw marks on everything, you know, just trusting and surrendering. And so, you know, some days went better than others.
You're also speaking as not just a grandmother, but as a recovering alcoholic and someone who, you know, whose life has been turned around for a couple decades now by 12-step thinking, and also combined with your faith. I mean, it's hard for everybody, but sounds like it's harder for you, even someone who's practiced letting go for 20 years.
I get better and better and better, and I thought that I'd made real headway, and then my grandson Jax was born, and I think most grandparents just have the same sort of good ideas that I have, which is that you've been around for a while, whereas the kids don't even have fully formed neocortexes. So your good ideas should be taken into account. But you know what? They don't want to hear your good ideas. It's their kid. And the extent to which you try to inflict your goodness on them is the extent to which they're not going to let you see the baby. So you figure out, it's sort of Pavlovian. It's like when I control, manage, martyr myself, manipulate, they keep the baby away from me. If I let go and pretend to have equanimity, I get to see the baby. Which will it be? This book is so much about prying your clutched fingers off of other people's lives and really letting my son be on his own hero's journey. And not only that, but agreeing not to run along beside him on it with my clipboard and post-its, you know, and my good ideas, because they're going to do what they're going to do. And there may be really painful results for everybody, and still none of your business.
Well, as you write, you had gotten all excited about having a Valentine's Day for them, and then they show up fighting, and, you know, but you end that entry by saying, well, even if they were both in free fall, I am not their parachute. God is. Yuck, I hate that.
I hate that.
Well, where are you now in the story of Sam and Amy and Jax?
He's 2.5, and he is absolutely a magical being, but at the same time, he has very strong opinions sort of from nowhere. And I liked it about a month ago, but now no noodles, no biscuit, and no apple. And but anyway, Sam and Amy split up almost a year ago, and it's really been a good thing, I think, for both of them. And they live nearby.
Well, but Annie, I have to sort of back up and say, what? They split up?
Well, they would be doing what they needed to do and going through the natural ups and downs of relationships and parenting and finally both deciding to split up. And I just tried to keep one, I asked God, keep one arm around my shoulder and one hand over my mouth. And I really didn't volunteer what I thought was the best possible way. And I don't think couples staying together is always the best possible way. And this has just been amazingly sweet and kind of, you know, life on life's terms.
Well, and talk a little bit about Sam. You interview him throughout the book, and at one point he says, I'm getting more resilient as a father about doing things I don't want to do. That self-centered person is still totally there, even though I'm a father figure. But then he goes on to say, you know, it's this deep connection, one that he had with his grandmother, that transcends death. It's like wireless internet versus one of those old coiled-up phone cords. Sam sounds pretty amazing.
Sam is so trippy, but he's always had a really deep spiritual aspect. Now he's, well, I'm just looking at the back cover. I just want to read one sentence, if that's okay.
Sure.
It says, my wild son, who like most boys, smashed and bashed his way through childhood with branches and bats and wooden swords, who shut down and pulled so far away as a teenager that sometimes I could not find him, now taking care of his own newborn, a miniature who is both unique and reflexive. You know, and watching him change poopy diapers and grow into that and step into that is humbling.
Annie Lamott, author of the grandparenting memoir, Some Assembly Required, a Journal of My Son's First Son. Annie, so great to talk to you.
You too. I really appreciate it.